May I speak in the name of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Please be seated. Yesterday, I attended a wedding officiated by my husband at St. James Church, Piccadilly. It was a beautiful and joyful occasion, seeing two people join together in love. And during the ceremony, I couldn't help but be reminded of the recent royal wedding, for it too was a joyful and beautiful occasion, one also steeped in the power and grandeur of tradition. The public appeal was contagious, capturing the imagination of many people around the world. And I must admit, I enjoyed the American influence on the wedding. As expected, there was a media frenzy. But what may not have been expected was how the service itself, and particularly the sermon, captured the attention of so many. I can't recall any other time when a sermon made the front page of every major newspaper in the country. And the topic of the sermon was simple: the redemptive power of love. The preacher, Bishop Michael Curry, began with a quote by the late Dr. Reverend Martin Luther King Jr. He said, "We must discover the redemptive power of love. And when we do that, we will make of this old world a new world, for love is the only way." From here, Bishop Curry went on to illumine us with his insight, his joy, and his tremendous passion for the power of love. As I listened, I was reminded of a service held years ago in my church in California, also about the power of love. The service was led by a couple married for a long time. I can't recall their names, but for today we will call them Sarah and Jonathan. Sarah was a musician and Jonathan a potter. Throughout the service, Sarah told through music the story of their life together, which had not been an easy life. All the while, as Sarah sang, Jonathan made a clay pot using a potter's wheel. The pot grew and changed as their story grew and changed. Along the way, there were jagged edges and rough patches in need of polishing. The end product was a large clay pot, beautiful but full of imperfections and cracks. As Jonathan finished his work, the lights were turned low, a candle was lit and placed inside the pot. And as the rays of the light from the candle shone through the pot, they read an excerpt from today's passage from Paul's second letter to the Corinthians. "It is the God who said, 'Let light shine out of darkness,' who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in clay jars, so that it may be made clear that this extraordinary power belongs to God." Years later, this passage was illumined for me again through an ordination address given by the theologian Paula Gooder. She spoke about the mystery of God's light shining through his people as a light shining through clay jars. Paula helped us see how the mystery behind St. Paul's words becomes clear when we read a bit behind the text. For example, Paul's first listeners would have understood that the clay jars were made of very low quality clay. So when they were fired, they would have cracked. And while cracked clay makes a poor quality pot, it makes a very good distiller of light. Now, if I had a cracked jar with me today, I might do a little demonstration. But as I don't, we'll have to use our imagination to picture a newly fired clay pot full of cracks. As a candle is placed inside the pot, the light shines through the cracks, enlightening the path for all to see. And we, the people of God, are like these clay distillers of light. through the cracks of our lives shines the light of Christ. And it seems the more cracks we have, the better. As we show our vulnerability and weakness to one another, the light brightens and sharpens for all to see. The strength of God shines through our human weakness, and this is good news. But is it really good news? It sounds good, but I think it also makes us feel uncomfortable, for we find it difficult to speak about weakness. We sometimes try to hide our weakness or pretend it doesn't exist. And what's more, we may keep silent about the wider weakness deep within our society. But as Christians, surely our lives, the way we view the world, must be different. As one of my favorite writers writes, Jean Vanier, he said, "Let's stop trying to be saints, heroes, and martyrs. And instead, let us dare to embrace our weakness, to be children, to be more fully ourselves." Now, I learned something of what this means from a good friend named Jordan. Some of you have heard me speak of him before. Jordan was a young man who had a deep impact on my life and my spiritual understanding. He was outgoing, kind, fun, and full of life. And as he was proud to tell anyone, Jordan had Down syndrome. My husband Ivan and I lived with Jordan for a year as his friends and caretakers. And our life together, though not always easy, was full of adventure. Jordan liked to attend church with us, and his presence made a lasting impact on our church community. He made us a bit more patient, a bit more loving, and a bit less concerned with being in control. Jordan would accompany me and Ivan most days as we went about our day. And wherever Jordan went, he always wore a bright red baseball cap. And on the front of the cap was the thumbs up sign. And underneath were written, "I have up syndrome. God made me just as I am." Now, these words on Jordan's cap encapsulated his true identity and cut through any inhibitions people may have had in his presence. This message went beyond Jordan's own self-understanding. These words, "I have up syndrome, God made me as I am," bring to mind for many of us various issues surrounding human worth and value. And yet these issues did not concern Jordan, as he saw value in each and every person he met. His life, the person he was, embodied a deep truth about human worth. And this made his message, the words written across his cap, all the more important. Our society increasingly views humanity as a commodity. A person's value is equal to their productivity, to their benefit to society as a whole. And yet, as Christians, we believe human beings have value because we are made in the image of God. God's image is not marred by disability or any other quality of apparent weakness. But rather, in some mysterious way, God's image becomes easier to see, clearer to the eye of the beholder in the midst of people like Jordan. Last week, my husband and I learned that Jordan had died. Now, whilst we were very saddened by this news, we were also reminded of the beauty of his life, how he taught us that although the life of faith is sometimes very hard, there is always hope. As St. Paul says, we are afflicted, but not crushed, perplexed, but not driven to despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed. For our hope is that in the midst of the darkness, the light of God is shining in and through our imperfect lives into a world very much in need of light. Amen.